This is Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you in your journey to stay pure online. Covenant Eyes accountability software is a powerful tool to help us be accountable to others about where we go and what we see online. But biblical accountability is more than just a willingness to talk about our struggles and sins. Being an accountability partner is more than just being willing to listen. It is also a willingness to be an instrument in the Holy Spirit's hands to make someone else more like Christ. Today's podcast is the last portion of our conversation with Christian psychologist Dr. Larry Crabb. In his book, Soul Talk, Dr. Crabb talks about what he calls the five dance steps of redemptive Christian conversation. In this series of podcasts, Dr. Crabb has been elaborating on these steps to equip accountability partners to deepen their relationships. The first step is think beneath. This is the process of looking past surface issues in our conversations to help us see the battle with sin at the heart level. The second step is think vision. This is the process of seeing and casting God's vision for one another, God's vision for our character. The third step is think passion. This is the process of recognizing our own hidden and sometimes selfish motives as we converse with our friends. The fourth step is think story. This is the process of understanding the story of one another's lives, finding out about past and present relationships that have shaped us the most. This week, Dr. Crabb talks about the fifth step, think movement. Fueled by the hope we have in the gospel, we think movement for one another by encouraging each other in the cycle of spiritual formation. This is a cycle of real repentance and bold faith in Christ, the path God uses to make us more like Christ.
Holy Spirit, your commitment is to form this person in the image of Christ for the pleasure of the Father. Then the Holy Spirit transforms my emptiness into thirst for knowing God, into thirst for the eternal hope that is mine, and out of gratitude and thirst, then I start living the kind of life God has called me to live. This is the gospel, not just that I'm going to heaven, but heaven's getting into me.
As we talk about think beneath, think vision, think passion, think story, the last one you mentioned is think movement. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by think movement?
There's an old church father by the name of Irenaeus in the 2nd or 3rd century who said that the glory of God is a human being fully alive. Now, I'm 65 years old, been a Christian for 57 years. Am I fully alive? And the answer is, not yet. Now, I'm fully alive in Jesus. I understand that. But am I the man that God has saved me to become? And the answer is, well, I'm on the way, but I got a long way to go. And what does it mean to actually be moving on this narrow road journey that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7? What does it mean to, when I'm talking to you and I'm talking to a counselee, when I'm talking to somebody in my small group, to think movement? I want to be thinking about, Holy Spirit, your commitment is to make this person like the second person of the Trinity. Your commitment is to form this person in the image of Christ for the pleasure of the Father. And if I start thinking about, you're wanting to move this person into becoming more patient, into becoming more generous, more loving, more self-controlled, you're wanting to move this guy who's got this pornography addiction, not into just turning it off, certainly that, but more wanting to turn it off because it's getting in the way of something so much better. You're wanting this woman who's so mad at her husband because he had an affair, you're wanting her to forgive him, not because, well, we should forgive people that do bad things, but to realize that you've been forgiven for sins against God that are far worse than any sins been committed against you. And when you understand amazing grace and you're celebrating it, you're going to forgive your husband in some very powerful ways. How does God move in these ways? And you start thinking about the movement toward becoming fully alive and becoming formed more and more like Jesus gets very exciting. And in the book Soul Talk, I've come up with what I choose to call the cycle of spiritual formation. And I don't want this to ever become close to a formula or, you know, here's the recipe to make it work, but it's just a way of thinking. And it begins with brokenness. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Yes, my husband had an affair, but I have not been all you've called me to be. Yes, my kid is on drugs, and that breaks my heart, but I want to be all that you want me to be toward him, and I find myself more concerned with my reputation and my pain than with his well-being. God, I'm broken over my self-centeredness. That's the first movement, and when you see somebody moving in that direction, identify it and celebrate it and rejoice with it. Out of brokenness comes repentance. And repentance is about the most joyful thing a Christian can do. It isn't some, I know I'm wrong, I'll change my mind, I'll do better next time, I'll be accountable to you, and I won't ever look at pornography again. But it's more changing your mind to say that moving toward my husband with his critical spirit, that's not where life is. I want to repent and leave these broken cisterns that I've been digging for myself, Jeremiah 2, and I want to drink from the living waters that really are available in the Holy Spirit in Christ and for the Father. And that's repentance. I want to move toward God, and out of that comes abandonment. And all I mean by that is take a risk and live out your repentance and move toward somebody else in a way that scares you half out of your brain, knowing that if God isn't there, you're a fool. And out of abandonment as a lifestyle, a certain confidence develops. That's the fourth movement. A confidence develops that says, you know, living for God really makes sense. It is not foolishness. It's wise. I'm feeling more solid as a person, more alive as a woman, even though I'm still hurting over my husband's adultery. I'm feeling more alive as a dad, even though my kid is now in jail. And it's breaking my heart unbelievably, but I know I'm alive. There's something alive in me, and I can visit my kid in jail and pour the energy of Christ into him. My goodness, this is incredible. And then out of that comes release. The whole idea of the new covenant that God has put the life of Christ within me, that starts getting released out of me. And when I sense a little bit of that coming out, I just want to worship. I want to say, my gracious, this is the gospel. Not just that I'm going to heaven, that's pretty important, but heaven's getting into me. And that's the abundant life for now.
It does give us a taste of that glory that is to come in the new heavens and the new earth. It's the grand finale, or as C.S. Lewis would put it, you know, further up and further in to, you know, the new chapter, where every chapter gets better than the one before. That hope that we have, if we keep our sights fixed on that, we know what path, we know what road we're on, we know what movement we're meant to take.
Well, that is so true. When I think about God, without sounding flippant or irreverent, I think if he's a party happening, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to be dancing at the party forever, and it's going to be an incredible time that I can't even imagine now. And what that means then is that when I go through my periods of emptiness, which every honest person does, when you feel like nothing's working, I don't feel alive, I feel dead, rather than fighting the emptiness and filling it with pornography or vacations, or nothing's wrong with vacations. Pornography, something's wrong with, but vacations can be okay, unless we're just becoming addicted to vacations. But if I stop fighting my emptiness and embrace it, then the Holy Spirit transforms my emptiness into thirst for knowing God, into thirst for the eternal hope that is mine. And when I face how I fail, rather than just hating myself and feeling defeated all the time, in my brokenness, I become stunned by grace. And out of gratitude and thirst, then I start living the kind of life God has called me to live. Not that I always feel wonderful, but when I do release the life of Christ within me, there's something that's very invigorating that is a little taste of what's coming up eternally. And without that hope, then we're of all men most to be pitied, the Apostle Paul said. But with that hope, everybody should want what we have.
You have been listening to our conversation with Dr. Larry Crabb on Covenant Eyes Radio. Dr. Crabb is the founder of New Way Ministries. Through Dr. Crabb's books, conferences, and intensive training, New Way Ministries equips followers of Jesus to have the kind of relationships that enable us to live in what Romans 7 calls the new way of the Spirit. He is scholar in residence at Colorado Christian University and serves as spiritual director for the American Association of Christian Counselors. Dr. Crabb is the author of many books, including Soul Talk, Real Church, Becoming a True Spiritual Community, Inside Out, Shattered Dreams, Finding God, and many others. For more information on Dr. Larry Crabb and his resources, visit newwayministries.org. Thank you for listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. Listen to more of our podcasts on iTunes or the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.